Hey, okay, good afternoon, everybody. Today, by the time, we're going to be learning Daf Ayin Zayin, the very last Daf of the fourth parak of Maseches Chulin. We are going to begin at Hanu Gidin Rakin, Da Asu Lukameh, two lines from the bottom of the page, on Daf Ayin Vavim Beis. This year is once again sponsored by Dr. David Lander and Honor's Wife and Children, and Lila Nishwas's mother, Golda Basimcha Leah Shalom, the Neshama, should have an Aliyah. So what we're talking about today is the following. First, we're going to talk about whether soft Gidin can count as Basar, at least with regard to covering up broken bones, because if bones are covered by basar, then broken bones are covered by basar, then it may not make the animal a treifa. So do soft gidin count as basar? Then the Gemara is going to have seven different shailas about the qualifications of basar to cover a broken bone and protect it from a status of a treifa. Then the Mishnah on Amud Aleph is going to discuss the status of a shilya of a shechted animal, the amniotic sac of a shechted animal. Do we assume that it's covered with the shechita of the mother? Do we assume that it's somehow problematic? Then the Gemara is going to talk about the tumah status of cooked donkey skin. What if you take skin and you slow cook it to a point where it becomes somewhat edible? So does it become food? And we're going to talk about legabe wat, legabe tumas nevela, legabe tumas ochlin. Then the Gemara is going to talk about if a vlad comes out with the shilya, are we choshesh for another vlad that we can't see? Meaning normally if there's a shilya and you don't see a vlad, so then you just assume, okay, there must be a vlad that's nimoach somewhere in that shilya. But what if I do see a vlad? So do you have to be choshesh? Maybe there's another vlad on top of that that just disappeared. Then the Gemara is going to explain why we are not choshesh for kedushas bechor on a shilya of a first pregnancy. A behemah's mevakeres, a shilya comes out, we don't have to worry that that which came out has kedushas bechor. Why not? And then the parak is going to conclude with a discussion of what is and is not included in the prohibition of Darkei HaEmori. So let us begin. We are holding again two lines from the end of the page on Daf Ayin Vav Amud Beis. Hanu Gidin Rakin Dasal Kameh to Rabbah. There was a case of soft sinews that were brought to Rabbah to determine whether they count as basar in terms of covering up a broken bone to take away the status of a treifa. Oftentimes when you have Rabbah in the Gemara, there is questions in the Girsah whether it should really be Rabbah or Rava. And over here as well, there's questions whether it should really be Rabbah or Rava. But bottom line is, someone asked somebody about these Gidin that are soft. So Amar Rabbah or Rava, he said, what are you worried about that they shouldn't be Mitzarif? Why wouldn't they be Mitzarif? After all, Chadod, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Gidin Shesof Allah Hakshos, Nimin Aleim B'Pesach, that first of all, Rabbi Yochanan says that a Gid that ultimately is going to harden, even if a person is joined with a group for the Karban Pesach with the intention of eating those Gidin and only eating those Gidin, not eating any of the Basar, he's Yotze the Mitzvah of Achilas Karban Pesach. So you see that soft Gidin are considered like Basar, and therefore when it comes to the Halachas of Trefos, soft Gidin should also be considered like Basar. So that's one point as to why it should for sure be considered like Basar. V'od HaTaruchas al Manu Shal Yisrael. If there's any chance to count it like Basar, and therefore make this animal kosher, we don't want to cost somebody a lot of money that he's going to have to throw out an animal in the garbage. So for that concern alone, we should be more nota to be makel. The Achronim raised the question, what do you mean va'od haTorah chasal mon shal? If something's treif, it's treif. You know, what does it matter that the Torah cares about our money? Meaning, if the halacha is like Reish Lakish, so then why does the Svara help that the Torah chasal mon shal Yisrael? If the behem is a treifa, it's a treifa. The Torah is not chasal monam shal Yisrael, but it's an actual treifa. So the Torah's Chaim suggests that Rabbah was masupak, whether we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan or like Reish Lakish. Right? Rabbi Yochanan is the one that said that Gidin Shesof on the Hakshos has a din of meat. So he wasn't sure, do we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan to be mekil, or do we paskin like Reish Lakish, who is more machmir? And therefore he said, first of all, according to Rabbi Yochanan, it's a davar pashut that it counts like basar. And even if it's not a vadai, but it's a safek, so something that should sway our opinion, if it's a safek, is hatar chasal manam shal Yisrael. So we should be makel for that reason, that hatar chasal manam shal Yisrael. So the Gemara's response that we didn't see yet, that we're going to see in the next line, Rav Papa is going to respond that adrabah, Reish Lakish felt that it was a davar pashut, that the gidim are not basar. So even if it's a safek, it's a safek on a daraisa level. I mean, even if we're not sure whether to pasuk like Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, but it's not that Reish Lakish was mesupak and that's why he was machmir. He was sure about it, and therefore we should treat this like a regular suffik daraisa lechumra. Where does this concept come from that a Torah chasal mamonim shal Yisrael? So it's not the first time we've seen it in this mesecta. Back on Daf Mem Tesem Beis, Rashi said that it's based on the Medrash in Parshas Metzora that when it comes to negayim that appear on a person's house before the kohen is metame the house, they empty all of the kelim out of the house, even cheap kelim, even klei cheres, because they're going to become tame, and then you're going to have to throw them out. So we get them out of the house before we declare the house tame, so that we can save the owner of such kelim the trouble of or the money of having to throw out those kelim. It happens to be that the Gemara Menachos Daf Ayin Vav gives a totally different makor than the Medrash from the pasuk of Votzeisim LaMayim Minasela Vishkisa Esaeda Ve'es Bi'iram, that even to feed the behemten shall Yisrael HaKadosh Baruch Hu is willing to make a nes to draw water out of a rock. So you see that Hashem even cares about Mamonim shall Yisrael, even the behemos of the Jewish people, which is essentially Mamonim shall Yisrael. So again, the question over here was the soft gi. Should they be considered to be like basar in terms of covering up a broken bone and removing the status of trefus? So we said, well, first of all, Rabbi Yochanan paskins that gidin are like basar, even legabe achilas korban pesach. And second of all, Hashem cares about our money. So I'm there, Papa the Rabbi, so Rav Papa said right back to him, Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, isur daraisa, vatam mein lechashlu. He said, I understand. Reish Lakish holds this is an isur daraisa. He disagrees with Rabbi Yochanan. He holds you cannot be yotzei the mitzvah Achilas Korban Pesach by eating these soft gidin. So it's Rav Shimon Lakish is Betoras Vadai that he disagrees with Rabbi Yochanan, and we're dealing with something. The stakes are in Issur D'Oraisa. So you're saying, what are we going to be choshish for? I'll tell you, we'll be choshish for Safik D'Oraisa Luchumra. This machlokas Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish first appears in Psachim on Daf Pei Dalit, that Rabbi Yochanan says that we look at the gidin as they are right now, and right now they're very soft and they're edible. And therefore they have a din like basar. Whereas Reish Lakish says, no, we look at the gidim by what they will one day be. And one day they will be too hard to eat, they will be inedible, and therefore they are not like basar. So the Achronim raised the question, well, wait a second. Reish Lakish only says it's asar because they are sofam lahakshos, that they will one day be hardened. But what if you have soft gidim that will never harden? Then it seems to be that everybody agrees that it's going to be mutter. So what's Rapapa's problem over here? Maybe the case that came in front of Rabba was soft gitin that will never harden, that will always remain soft, and therefore it should be perfectly fine. So the Leif Aryeh suggests, well, he was asked about gitin on the leg of an animal, because that's what we're talking about, a broken bone in the leg, and he happened to know that anatomically, the gitin that are found in that area of the body are always sofan lahakshos. So you can't make up your own metzias. If the metzias is that it's sofan lahakshos, that must have been the case. So anyway, so the Gemara says, Ishtik, Rabba was quiet, he didn't have anything to respond. Why was he quiet? Vamarava, or perhaps Rabba, depending on the gears before Lichora, this is a raya. I mean, over here it's Rava, so it's a raya that previously was Rava as well. Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to ask Akasha, because if the Maisa was something that came to Rabba, how could the Gemara ask on Rabba from Rava, who was not yet born at the time that Rabba gave that psak? So this seems to be an indication that the Shaila originally was asked of Rava. So we're saying, how can it be that Rava was quiet? After all, didn't Rava say that there are only three cases in the Gantz Shas where we pass on like Reish Lakish? So why was when Rav Papa criticized him, he says, how could you be Mekil? Don't you know Reish Lakish holds that we have to be Machmir? Well, there are only three cases that we actually pass on like Reish Lakish according to Rava. All the other cases we pass on like Rabbi Yochanan. So it didn't bother him that Reish Lakish was Machmir. He holds like Rabbi Yochanan, because it's not one of these three cases. So what are the three cases that we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan? So like Reish Lakish rather, so against Rabbi Yochanan. So one is about whether a pregnant woman who does a chalitza, whether it's a valid chalitza, if she ultimately miscarries, does she need a new chalitza? Or do we say, well, she did a chalitza when she was pregnant, so that was good enough? Another one is about when you're mechalik your possessions to other people, you need to say to each and every person that it's Belosh Matana and not Yerusha. And third one is about Kinyan Peros being Kikinyan Aguf or Lav Kikinyan Aguf Dami, that we say Lav Kinyan, that Kinyan Peros is Lav Kikinyan Aguf Dami. Those are sugyas. In the first one is from Yivamis, obviously the next two are sugyas in the Sechba Basra. So answers the Gemara, Shaini Hacha, maybe over here it's different when it comes to these soft sinews that we would not pass on like Rabbi Yochanan, because in this case, even Rabbi Yochanan himself ultimately agreed to Reish Lakish. So the Amrle Al Takniteni Belashon Yochanan Nishana Osa, because we're going to see later in this Masechta that Rabbi Yochanan holds that the soft skin on the head of a calf is not Mekabel Tumas Ochlin, because it's ultimately going to harden, so it doesn't have a din of basar. So Reish Lakish asks on him from the Mishnah that lists the skin of the head of a calf as among those things that are Oseim Kibsarim, that does have a din of basar. So Rabbi Yochanan said back to Reish Lakish, don't challenge me from that Mishnah, because I hold that that Mishnah is a Das Yachid, and we don't paskin like that Mishnah. Ooh, so you see that Rabbi Yochanan holds that anything that ultimately is going to harden does not have a din of basar. And therefore, by the din of the Gidim that we're talking about, he must have agreed to Reish Lakish that it does not have the din of basar. And that's why when he was challenged, Rava just kept his mouth shut, because you cannot rely on Rabbi Yochanan when Rabbi Yochanan didn't rely on Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan himself backed out of his original position. A new case. There was this case of a broken bone, and a little chip of that bone had fallen off, and it still got rov basa, that's chofes hashever, that's covering up the shever, which normally would protect it from being a trefa. But normally it's just broken. It's not a piece that fell off of the bone. So over here, it was a piece that fell off. Does that make it worse? So asal kameid Abaye, the owner of the behemoth, came to Abaye to ask what the halacha is. Do we assume that rov basa chofa es hashever is going to save it over here as well? So shahayi tasa rigli, Abaye held on to the shayla for 3 months for three regalim before responding to it, because he wanted an opportunity to talk to all the big talmidei chachamim, and at the shas haregel, that's when all the big talmidei chachamim would get together when they'd be on the regal. So Amalei Rav Ad Bar Masna said to the owner of the behema, Zil kamei de Rava berei de Rav Yosef Bar Chama. Go to Rava berei de Rav Yosef Bar Chama de Harifa Sakine. He has a sharp knife, meaning he's very sharp. He's very strong in learning, so he'll be able to, he doesn't need to talk to the big talmidei chachamim. He'll come up with a svara on his own. He has he's very charifistic of svaras, so you should go to him, which is interesting. Do you always go to the sharpest person to paskin your halacha, or do you want to make sure that that there's precedent, and that you know that the bikiyim are making sure that it's not against any gemaras? We were just part of Shechta yesterday, and he was talking about some of the gedolim who were extremely, extremely sharp, but no one ever paskins like, because sometimes they missed the gemara. So I think he told the maisa that Reb Chaim went to hear a shir from one such gadol, and Reb Chaim chapped that the chiddush that the gadol was saying was against enough in the Mishnah. So Reb Chaim opened up the Mishnahis. He walked right up to him. He put the sefer in front of him, and then he walked out. And he said, the person retracted. He said, that's against enough in the Mishnah. So he retracted. But Reb Chaim said, this time I caught him, because this time I knew about it. Next time I'm not going to know about it. The sharpest person is not always the most correct person. But anyway, he was growing impatient. He didn't want to wait for all the Talmidei Chacham to weigh in. So go to the Yosef Bar Chama, who's a very sharp person. So he came, he brought the behemah. So Amar, so Rava said to him, again, this is Rava Bered, Rav Yosef Bar Chama. So Rava Bered, Rav Yosef Bar Chama said to him, Michti, Nishbara Etzem Yotel Luchutznan. It said in the Braisa that if a bone breaks and it's Yotel Luchutz, if Rove of the Basar covers the broken bone, it's kosher. So the Miyuta Etzem does not trafe it up. So Mali Nafel Mali Yisei. So why would it make a difference if a piece of the bone fell off, or the piece of the bone is just protruding, but it's still there? As long as you have Rove Basar Chofa, Misvara, it should be good enough. and therefore it's going to be kosher. So now the Gemara says a series of seven shailas relating to this halacha about Rav Basar Chofa Es HaShever. Amalei Ravina L'Rava Mislaket Mahu. What if the bone is broken and the Basar is Chofa Rovavit, but it's not all in one place? It's patchy. It's like a little bit here, a little bit there. If you're mitzarif it all together, it's Basar Chofa Es Rubo, but it's not all in one spot. Misroses Mahu. Second shaila. What if the Basar is not thick? It's much very thinned out, but it's chofa, it's rova etzem, but the basar is not really what basar is supposed to look like. Third shaila, mismasmes mahu. What if it's rotted out basar? So hechidami mismasmes. What does that mean that it's rotted? Some rova in Rav Yeshua kol shar rova kodro. If a doctor would just simply cut it out with a knife, that would be considered rotted flesh. That so is that considered like basar? That's chofa as rubo. Tosos raises the question. What do you mean? We already had a sugya about that. We discussed this in Masmes. It's considered that the basar is not there at all. So how come the Gemara is masupuk about it right now, whether it counts as basar or not? So Tosos says a fundamental chilik that the din that we discussed previously back on Daf Nun Gimel is when you have an organ of the body that the dinim of trefos are totally in that organ. You have a lung. You have something like that. So if it's mismasmes, we say okay, it's ruined. Over here, the bone is the source of the trefos. We're just questioning whether you can protect that trefa with something covering it, with basar that's covering it. So does this qualify as basar that would cover it? The basar itself, though, is not the source of the trefos. It just needs to be a valid covering of the bone. Oh, so for such a thing, maybe even if it's mismasmes, it would be okay. So says the Gemara, Ibailu, a fourth shayla, Nikev Mahu. What if there was a hole in the basar that's chofa rov ha'atara? So, or niklaf mahu. What if it peeled off? The basar peeled off of the bone. Nistak mahu. What if it was cracked? I'm sorry, it keeps going in and out. It tells me I have a weak internet connection. So I'm up to nistak mahu. What if it was cracked along the length of the basar, along the length of the basar that covers the shever? Nitel shlish ha'tachton. What if the bottom third of the thickness of the basar that's closest to the bone was removed, but the top two-thirds of the basar and the or were therefore not really directly on the shever. There was like airspace in between them. So mahu, what's the din? So says Gemara Tashma, let's bring a raya to be poshed at least this last suffix. Amru lam Rabbi Yochanan, or hareu kebasar, that or has a din like basar. So he sees from Rabbi Yochanan that even if there's no basar, it's just skin, that's considered to be enough to wrap up the shever and to make it okay. So therefore, certainly if some of the basar is missing, some of the thickness of the basar is missing, that's for sure okay. Says Gemara, no, it's not a good raya. Dilma tekana mashka didei. Maybe when we talk about or being valid as a way of covering up the basar, that's talking about a non-fleshy part of the animal, where it's not supposed to have basar. But maybe in a fleshy part of the animal, if it's missing basar, it's taka a problem. So another shayla the Gemara has. Amar Rav Ashi, ki avinu be Rav Papi. When I was in Rav Papi's base medrash, ibayilan, we had the following shayla. Nikdar kamin taba'as. If the basar was cut in a way where the entire shever was surrounded by basar, but that basar was removed from all the other basar of the animal. So that basar was sort of on an island in its own because you hollowed out an area around that basar. So you cut a donut around that basar, like a ring around that basar that separated that basar from the rest of the animal. Will that count as basar that's going to protect the shever? Upashatna mehadam Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav. And we answered it based on Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav. Dover zeh sha'alti l'chem l'rofim, that I've asked this question to the chachamim and to the doctors. Va'amru Misarto be'etzem, and they said that the refua is that you take another bone and you scratch in this basar, and through that dam is going to come out, and that's going to reattach the pieces of basar to one another, malarucha, and it's going to heal itself. Avul parzula mizrav zarif, but don't use a metal implement to make that scratch because it's not going to work. It's going to just harm the animal. It's not going to cause a refua. So amrapapavu dekana garmedidei. You can only be matirit when you scratch it with the with this piece of bone in a case where it strengthens when it's coming from its own bone. It's from garma didei. When you see that around the place where you made that hole, it starts to attach itself to the bone. So then you see that's a simen that it's coming to be misrape. So that then you'll know that it can have a refuah, even though at some point the basar that's chofe, this shever, it was separated from the basar of the rest of the animal. Okay, new mission now. If you shecht an animal and inside you find embryonic sac, so a nefesh hayafa, a hardy person, can eat it. It's mutar b'achila, so it's not evar min hachai, because it's considered one of the evarim of the mother, so you shechted the mother, and therefore it's going to be kosher. And it doesn't have, it's not considered food, so it's not metami tumas ochlin, but it's also not metami tumas nevelos if the behema dies, because it's not considered basar. But if you decide that you want to eat it, metami tumas ochlin, then even though it's a little bit gross, it's metami tumas ochlin. Once you determine you're going to treat it as food, avalotumas nevelos, but it's not going to be metami tumas nevelos. Shilya shiyatsu mektsasa, if let's say some of the shilya came out of the mother while it was still alive, then asura ba'achila. The whole thing is asura ba'achila once you shech the mother, because we're choshesh that in the piece that came out, the head of the baby came out, or the rove of the baby came out, and you just can't see it because it's sort of disintegrated since we don't see any vlad there. Simen vlad b'isha, simen vlad b'behema. Any woman that or behema that has a shilya, we know that there's got to be a vlad in there. So if there's got to be a vlad in there, and we don't know where the vlad is, we have to be choshesh that the vlad was in the piece that that actually came out. So even if just a little bit of the shilya came out, you're not allowed to eat the whole thing, because maybe there was a vlad and it's considered to have been already born. You don't have to be choshesh in this case where you know that there's no vlad, so then l'chari you are allowed to eat the shilya. Hamavakeres shepi l'shilya yashlichan l'klavim. If a behema is giving birth to its first offspring and a shilya comes out, you can throw that shilya to the dogs. You do not have to worry about kedushas bechar. The Gemara is going to discuss why not, meaning after all, it's a mevakeres, so it might be a male, and therefore it might have kedushas bechar. Uba mukdashin, if let's say it's not a chulin animal, a behema Torah that's having its first offspring, it's a hekdesh animal, it's a carbon shlamim that shilya comes out of, tikaver. That for sure you have to bury, you're not allowed to eat. Ein kovernos of the precious drachim, vein tolunos of the ilan, mei darkei amori. But do not bury it on the crossroads. Do not hang it on a tree, because those are superstitious practices of the other nations. That's considered Darkei Amori, and the Torah tells us losase kema aseyem, that we're not supposed to engage in such practices, and the Gemara will discuss that at the end of the parak as well. So minani mili, says the Gemara, how do I know that the shechita of a behema is matir the shilya ba'achila as well? That if you shech the behema, you can eat the shilya as well. Because we have a brisa that the Torah tells us that kol ba'behema tochelu, so it sounds like anything that's inside the behema when you shecht it, you're allowed to eat, and that's the rabbis of shilya. That comes to include even the shilya that you're allowed to eat. So yachol afilu yatsa miktsasa, I might have thought that, yeah, you're allowed to eat the shilya, even if some of it came out of the mother, I might think you're allowed to eat it. So tamalomar osa. That's why there's a miut in the pasuk osa, that you're not allowed to eat it. You're not allowed to eat the shilya. You're only allowed to eat it. So michti says, well, wait a second. Ein shilya below vlad. So lamalikra. If we know the mitzias is every time there's a shilya, there's a vlad. Why do I need a pasuk to tell me that if some of the shilya came out, it's going to be aser? Of course, you have to be choshesh. There's vlad in that, and therefore it's considered to have already been born. And if it's already been born, it's not mutar b'shchitas imo. So it's obvious. It's obvious that it's aser. So says Gemara, you're right. Cross machlav yalma. The isra of the shilya is because we know that there's a vlad that could be in the shilya that came out already, and therefore it could already have been born, and therefore it's not covered with the shchita of the mother. The fact that we're quoting it like it's a drasha in a pasuk, that's only an asmachta. What then is the pasuk actually coming to teach me when it says kol b'behema tochelu? Well, that's going to be what we already learned back about a week ago, that if you cut off a piece of the spleen or the kidneys of a behema and you leave them in inside of the behema, and then you shecht the behema, that's called behema tochelu, that the organs that are floating around inside the body of the mother, and then you shecht the mother, that those organs are going to be kosher. But it's not about the shilya I don't need a pasuk to teach me about. So ve'ena metame, we said, and it's not metame tumas ochlin nor tumas nevelos. By Rabbi Yitzchak bar Navcha, or chamor shashalako mahu. What if you take skin of a donkey and you slow cook it for a long time? So you sous vide the skin of a donkey. So it really softens nicely. So what's the din? So it says, what do we mean, what's the din? Lemai, ilu tumas ochlin. What are you asking about? Are you asking about whether it could become tame as tumas ochlin? Well, tanina. We already know that from the Tanaim. There's an explicit brisa. And ilu tumas nevelos, tanina. And if you're asking about whether it's tummy tumas nevelos, that's also an explicit brisa. So we know that one as well. Where do we find these explicit brisas? So tumas ochlin, the tanya, the brisa, that tumas ochlin, that it says ha'or v'hashilya in metame tumas ochlin. That or and shilya are not metame tumas ochlin, or because it's hard and it's not roi l'achila, and shilya because it's gross and it's not roi l'achila. But or sheshalako, but if you slow cook the or, v'hashilya shechishiv aleha, or you have shilya that's not gross to you, you decide you want to eat it, well then metame tumas ochlin, then it becomes tummy tumas ochlin. So that's the brisa. It's explicit that if you slow cook or for long enough and it becomes edible, so it becomes an ochel. And tumas nevelos namita nina. And we also have a beferish or brisa when it comes to tumas nevelos. Benivlasa, that the word benivlasa is extra. The pasuk could have just said, instead of saying hanogea benivlasa yitmaher, the could have just said hanogea ba, because we know we're talking about a nevela already. So that comes to tell me that only if you touch the basar of the nevela are you tame. Veloba ar. Benivlasa teaches me, but not if you touch the or, v'lo ba'atzamos, nor the bones, v'lo ba'kidin, and not the veins or the sinews, v'lo ba'karnayim, v'lo ba'tlafayim, and not the horns and not the hooves, that only the basar of a nevela is metame. The brisa only needs to be mimait these things and tell me that they're not mitame, which l'chor is no pasha, of course they're not mitame, they're not basar. Why does the brisa tell me these things are not mitame? That even if you cook them and you spice them up and you make them something that's edible and that people might eat, still not mitame. That's the drasha, that it's not mitame. So that's how we learn it. So it turns out that if you have skin that you slow cook, we have a brisa both legabe tumas ochlin and legabe tumas nevelos. So what's Rav Yitzchak bar Navcha not sure about? Meaning they're beferish brisas. So says Mar Liola tumas ochlin. He's not sure about its status for tumas ochlin. Aye, but the brisa said that if you slow cook it, it's metame tumas ochlin. He doesn't think that that's a raya because maybe that's not about a chamor shiny or chamor demais. That maybe an or of a chamor is not going to have the status of food because it's really gross. So that he thought that maybe slow cooking normal turns it into an ochel, but slow cooking or a chamor, he's not sure. Maybe that does not turn it into an ochel. Okay, shilya shiatza. We then said that if some of the shilya came out, it's asur b'achila because we're afraid maybe the head of the fetus or the rove of the fetus came out with that mitzvah shilya, and it's considered to have been born, and therefore the shchita of the mother will not be matirit, and the shilya becomes asur because of the vlad. So the rest of the shilya also becomes asur because it had it's part of the vlad. So says Gemara, well, wait a second. Amar Rav Lazar, lo shanu ela she'inim avlad. We're only choshesh that maybe there was a vlad in that shilya if you didn't see another vlad. So then you have to be choshesh that the vlad came out with that shilya. Avli yeshim avlad. But if you see that the vlad is still inside with the mitzvah shilya that's still inside, then ain choshin levlad acher. You don't have to worry about that. Maybe there were twins and there was another vlad that came out with the mitzvah shilya that had emerged. That's too much to be choshesh for, right? Then you assume that there was no leida yet, and therefore the shechita se'em covered the shilya, and you're good. Rabbi Yochanan says, "Bein eni mavlad, bein yeshi mavlad, choshen levlad acher." Rabbi Yochanan says, "I think we got to be more machmir. I think we need to say that even if you see a vlad that's in the mitzvah shilya that's bifnim, we have to be choshesh. Maybe there was a vlad also in the mitzvah shilya that's outside, and therefore that shilya is going to be treif, and whatever shilya is still inside maybe belongs to the vlad that was born, and that's going to be treif as well." So says Gemara, "Ain ivam Rabbi Yirmiyahu l'chumra amar Reb Lazar." Wait a second. The way we just presented it is that Reb Lazar was mekil, and then Rabbi Yochanan says, "No, we need to be machmir, even if there's there's another vlad, we need to be machmir. But didn't Rabbi Yirmiyah tell us that Rabbi Lazar was the more machmir one? So what's going on over here? So it says Gemara Eliyit Mar Hachiyit Mar. We must have gotten something wrong in the presentation of this machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Lazar. Here's what it really should be. That Omer Rabbi Lazar says that when the Mishnah says that the Shilya is Aser, that is Lo Shanu Ella She'ina Kshura B'Vlad. It's even when there's another Vlad that you see, but that's only if the Shilya is not Kshura B'Vlad. It's not, the Shilya is not directly connected to the Vlad that you see that's still there. So that's why you have to be Choshish that maybe there's a different Vlad that maybe is in the part of the Shilya that emerged. Aval Kshura B'Vlad, but if you see that the Shilya is connected to the Vlad that you're able to see, so then you know that Shilya belongs to that Vlad. You don't have to worry about a different Vlad existing as well. And therefore the Shilya is going to be Mutter. And Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Anu ein lanu el shilya below vlad, aval yeshim avlad bein kshur b'vlad bein ein kshur b'vlad ein choshem vlad acher. And Rabbi Yochanan says, I'm much more makel. I think that if you see any other vlad, you can forget it. Everything's fine. If you see a vlad that's still inside, you don't have to worry. I don't care if it's kshura, not kshura. It doesn't matter. You don't have to worry that there's another vlad that disintegrated and is in the shilya that had emerged. Hainadam Rabbi Yirmiyah l'chumra amar Rabbi Lazar. So that's where that's how we see that Rabbi Lazar is in fact being a little bit more machmir, because Rabbi Lazar is saying that we are choshesh for a vlad that we do not see, even when there is a vlad that we do see, provided that the vlad that we do see is not kshura in the shilya. And Rabbi Yochanan says, no, as long as there's a vlad you see, you don't have to worry about anything. So Tani Kavasei Rabbi Lazar, we have a brisa that supports Rabbi Lazar. Hamapelis min behem chayva of. Let's say a woman, a human being, is mapil, something that looks like a behemah chay or of. So that's not considered a vlad. As far as Tumas Leda is concerned, she's not going to be tameh 7 days for a zachar, 14 days for a negeva. Vishilya imahin. But let's say there's a shilya together with this So bizman shekshura behen, when the shilya is connected to the this thing that she was mapil ein choshen vlad acher. So you assume that's it. That was the whole leida, and therefore it's not a leida. So there's no tumas leida because it was just a kamin behemachayvof. It was not a normal human baby. But einuk shura behen. But if this behemachayvof was not connected to the shilya, then I have to be worried that maybe the shilya is connected to an actual human baby that has disintegrated, and therefore. Therefore, Hareni Matala Chomer Shnei Vlados Shani Omer Sheminimoch Shafir Shel Shaliv Sheminimoch Shel Yaso Shel Shafir. That I have to be choshesh that maybe the vlad of the shilya that I see has disintegrated, but there was an actual human vlad in there, and maybe the shilya of this Beim Chayva Of is disintegrated, and that's why I don't see that. But I have to be choshesh that maybe there's a female vlad in there, and that and therefore she's going to be tamei for 2 weeks, but she gets zero Yimei Tahara that follow. Normally you get Yimei Tara at least till day 40. She's going to get zero Yimei Tara because maybe all she had was Kamin Behema Chayavov and she didn't have a Leida at all. So she's going to have Al Chumras in this case. So nevertheless, you see from this Brisa that apparently there's a difference between a Shilya that's Kshura Levlad and a Shilya that's not Kshura Levlad. And that's exactly what Rabbi Lazar had said. So this bears out Rabbi Lazar's Shita. Then we said Vakeres Sheipila. We said a kosher animal is having its first born baby and it's mapil a shilya, you can throw it to the dogs, don't worry about any kedusha. Well, my time, why aren't I worried about any kedusha? Maybe the vlad was a bechor that has kedushas bechor and zasar ba'ana. How can you throw it to the dogs? Some ravika breid ravami rov behemos yodos davar kodesh bebechorah. Most behemos that have a firstborn, there's an actual vlad that comes out that if it were a zachar would have the status of kedushas bechor. But every once in a while, it's just mapil something that's just a chatichas basar, that's just that has no form, that's not a, you know, that's a nothing. So ma'imihu nidma, like you know, it's mapil something that, you know, it's a cow and it gives birth to something that looks like a goat. You know, they wouldn't have Kedushas Bechor in such a case. It's a Nidme. It looks like something that isn't. Because by Bechor it says Ach Bechor Shor. So the Gemara Darshan's Achie Hu Shor U Bechor Shor. That if it's a Shor, it's Bechor better be a Shor also. Otherwise it doesn't have Kedushas Bechor. If it just has some, you know, random other type of animal. V'chole Yoldos, Yoldos Mechses Chor Mechsen Gevos. Now in general, in all of life, half are female and half are going to be male. So Smoch Miuta Din Nidme, the Mechsa Din Kevos, Vavluz Chor Miuta. So therefore, what are the chances that this has Kedushas Bechar? It's a rove that it doesn't have Kedushas Bechar, because only the male firstborns are going to have Kedushas Bechar, so that's already 50%. And then of those males, some of them are going to be a nidme. Some of them are going to be a, you know, a goat that's coming from a cow. A very tiny percentage, but some. And therefore, you have rove that would not have Kedushas Bechar. You have all the females, and you have the nidmas among the males, and therefore you would not have Kedushas Bechar. And even according to Rav Meir, the Akronim point out, over here, in addition to the rov, you have a chazaka that the Vlad doesn't have Kedushas Bechorah, because it didn't have Kedushas Bechorah when it was Bimeimo. So it had a cheskas, not Kedushas Bechorah, so we're not going to impose Kedushas Bechorah based on a miut. Ubimukdashin, we said if the Behemah is a Behemah's Hagdish, it's a carbon shlamim that's mapil, so then tikaver, then you have to bury the shilia, my taima. Why does it need a kavura? So ruba bar mikdashu, because most of what a behemoth hagdish will give birth to will likewise have kedusha, because it doesn't matter if it's a zachar and a keva. A carbon shlamim that has a baby, whether it be a zachar and a keva, it has kedusha. So what? You're going to say, but the nidme wouldn't have kedusha? How many of them are nidmes? There aren't so many births that are nidmes, that are a goat coming from a sheep or whatever. So you're not going to have such situations. Too many of those. Vein kovernos. So then we said, and if the you don't have to bury it, you should not, when you bury it, you should not bury it b'prashas drachim, you shouldn't hang it on a tree. These are darkei amori things. So anything that's therapeutic, meaning anything, the way Rashi learns is, anything that you would place directly on the wound in order to achieve a refuah, you know, that you would apply directly to the injured party in order to achieve a refuah, ein bo mishum darkei amori. That's not called darkei amori. Meaning, it sounds like you don't need to know how it works. But, you know, if you're told that if you take penicillin, this is going to heal the infection on your leg. You're like, what does that have to do with my leg? I'm swallowing the pill. Like, what? So you don't have to know how it works. You just have to know that it's affecting the affected body, meaning you're applying. But if you say, oh, you have an infection on your leg, so if you scratch an engraving into a tree out deep into the woods, that's going to heal your leg. What does that have to do with my leg? I mean, it's not even on the body. I know how neither of them works, but anything that's directly relates to the body that's affected, that's a refuah, that's not a violation of darkei amori. But ein bo refuah, but something that's not done on the illness or the ill person himself, like burying the shilya precious drachim as a way of healing your headaches or something. I don't know. So that's yesh bo mishum darkei amori. So that's going to be a violation of darkei amori. V'atanya, but wait a second, is that rule true? Didn't the Brisa say, ilan shemesher peirosav, if you have a tree that's shedding its fruits before they ripen, so it's a real problem. It's not producing the fruits that it's supposed to produce. Sokro basikra, paint it red, v'tono ba'avanim, and put wood, put stones on it to weigh it down. So bishla v'tono ba'avanim ki hechi de nechushchile. I understand why stones are going to help, because that will take away some of the energy of that tree, so that it will you know, things will go a little slower on the tree, so the fruits won't fall off so quickly. El sokro basikra mai, but what could painting red have anything to do with anything? That's in Bomishum Rafua. That seems like it's a darkei amori. L'chora, this is against, I mean, it's hard to understand how Rashi reads this line of Gemara. Because if Rashi interpreted Yesh Bomishum Rafua as something that you apply to the affected thing, well, is not a problem of darkei amori. Well, this is applied to the affected thing. Painting it red is also applied, meaning the tree is the affected thing. And I'm painting the tree red. So it's hard to understand what the Gemara's problem is. Meaning, I don't have to know it works. I'm painting the tree red, so it's a little bit difficult to understand how Rashi is going to read this line of Gemara. So Muke Yosef tries to work on it. Anyway, so says the Gemara, what does painting it red do? I'll tell you what it does. It's not a way of providing refuah in a magical way. It's kiyech dil chazio in shivilibay rachim elavei. It's a way of publicizing that this tree has problems so that other people will daven that it should be better. Kiditanya, after all, the Braisa says that when Mitzora has tzaras, tamei tamei yikra, tzorech l'odiyah l'rabim, he should let everybody know that he has tzaras v'rabim v'akshmel v'rachamim, so that people will daven for him. There's some people, when there's an illness in the family, they don't like to tell anybody, either because they're private people, which certainly you can understand that, but some say come from a religious perspective. They say you shouldn't tell somebody, because if you tell somebody, then it will take a greater miracle to have a refuah, because when you tell people, then it's going to be a nes nigla when the person gets better, as opposed to a nes nistar when the person gets better. L'chora, from here you see that you're supposed to tell people that the tefillos are really important. So you want to let people know that there's a tzar so that they can daven. If someone has any sort of tzara or any sort of illness, let the world know, and people will daven for the person. The Ramban in Torah Adam says this is one of the sources of why we do Bikur Cholim. You do Bikur Cholim because you should see that the person is sick, and when you see that the person is sick, you'll daven. The whole point is that you'll daven for the person. So Amar Ravina, Kaman Talinan Kuvsa Bidikla, who do we assume, like when we allow hanging a cluster of dates on a decal tree, when as a sign that the decal tree is having problems, that it's not producing good fruit? Kaman Kiaitana, we're assuming like this Tana in the Brisa, that it's just to draw attention to it so that people can daven for it. Hadrulach Behema Makasha, tomorrow we will begin the next parak. Okay, everyone have a wonderful evening.